Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Mully and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report with Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Bigs. Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score on a lovely Friday morning in Chicago. Welcome to the audience for the Chicago Sports Network, where we simulcast every day, 7 to 9 in the morning. Thank you for joining us on your Friday morning. Time now to go out to the Arturo Hotline. And Brad Biggs is brought to you by the Arturo, your all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Good morning, Brad. How's it going?
Morning, Dave. What's going on?
Well, I want to get to the Bears. We have a lot of stuff that I didn't talk to you about yesterday when I was off. We have a lot of catching up to do, but I want to start here. Thursday Night Football, little debate going here. I know everybody watched it. When you are the Bengals and you come back the way that you did and you watch Lamar Jackson do what he did in the fourth quarter for the Ravens, great football game on Amazon. It's 35-34, less than a minute to go in the game. Did the Bengals do the right thing by going for two?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think, defense didn't play particularly great in the second half of that game. I think you got to take your shot right there. I wouldn't second guess that at all.
Maybe I'd second guess what your play was. Why not throw a ball to Jamar Chase, who did everything last night to get the Bengals, keep them in that game? But I guess you could quibble with the play call, but not the decision.
No. And that was a hell of a football game. And you watch a game like that, and you're sitting there, and you're just like, the Bears aren't built to play in a game like that right now.
They'd get
run out of the gym by the way those teams were playing, Cincinnati and Baltimore right now.
If Caleb Williams has 197 yards and 3 touchdowns Sunday during the game, we'll be happy and celebrating it on Monday. That was Lamar Jackson's fourth quarter.
Oh, I mean, if Caleb did that, people would be. Yeah, you'd have people declaring he's better than Jaden Daniels again. And so hopefully they can take a step forward, though. Like, they've got to, because it's just been really choppy, really disjointed, and it's problematic for them.
I think that I agree with you, Brad, and Sunday is a game the Bears cannot afford to lose, and Caleb Williams needs to get back on the right track. Let's start with Montez Sweat, though, because he spoke yesterday about missing last week's game with the shin contusion, it sounds like. What did you make of his explanation? And do you buy that it was essentially up to Ryan Poles and it was a decision that was out of Montez Sweat's hands?
Oh, boy. I mean, you're really trying to parse what people say when you get into that. Here's what I know. It was a bruised shin. This wasn't shin splints or anything like that. And going into last Sunday, I think the team felt like he was going to be able to play in that game. And all of a sudden, he wasn't playing in that game. I think you've got to, as a team, be responsive and listen to your players when they're telling you that they're not right. And I give Sweat the benefit of the doubt right now, certainly when you consider his track record for durability, the fact that really the only time he missed, I think, when he was in Washington was when he had a broken jaw, and then he might have come down with COVID when he was coming back from the jaw injury. So, if this is a guy who you're wondering about his availability from time to time, I would look at it very differently. If this is the start of him not being around a whole lot and having durability issues, then we've got a different thing to kind of address here. But considering his track record, I believe he is due the benefit of the doubt that, you know what, he just wasn't going to be able to go.
Without him, the Bears struggled to stop the run. The challenge will still be great this week, regardless of the opponent, because Andrew Billings is on injured reserve. He won't be there. Sweat comes back, but you lose Andrew Billings. How will the Bears respond? What will they do to replace Billings in terms of personnel, or will it just be kind of by committee?
Well, I think it's got to be by committee. And they weren't necessarily playing the run great with Sweat. Like not that Sweat's been a problem against the run. I don't want to paint that picture at all. But with him in the lineup, they had some games where you're looking at it and you're saying, oh, boy, they need to tighten this up a little bit. And I think the problem early in the season before the London game against Jacksonville, when they did a nice job against the run, was that they'd given up some explosive runs. They'd given up some big plays. And we saw a little bit of everything at Arizona, and it wasn't great at Washington. So they got to be better there, because New England's going to see that and try to capitalize, right? You've got a rookie quarterback. You're going to try to get the running game going and take a few things maybe off his plate. But I would expect everybody to get sort of more opportunities. Byron Cowart profiles as that nose tackle. Zach Pickens should play some more. Javon Dexter's got to play better against the run. I don't think he had a good game at Arizona. He struggled out there. So it's going to take all hands on deck.
This segment with Brad Biggs, sponsored by S-Wing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. S-Wing.com. Brad, what did you hear from Shane Waldron on Thursday at Hallis Hall that makes you believe the Bears' offensive game plan will make more sense and have more success on Sunday?
It's not words. You got to show me, right? I'm going to believe it when I see it. I would think Cole Kmet gets the ball some more, just because that's been kind of really obtuse. But I would have thought they would have got DJ Moore really, really going and in a comfortable spot a little more consistently than they have, which that's basically only happened in the Carolina game this season. So you kind of get replies. I don't know that you hear things that you should walk away from thinking, well, there's an answer that makes sense to me. So I got to see it. I'm not going to put stock in what's said. They're going to have to show me. And I think for people who are watching it and wondering what the issues are on offense, they should probably take a similar approach that, show me what you're going to do.
So Drake May comes in, Brad, and he's coming off a very good game. He completed 70% of his passes, over 200 passing yards, and he had over 90 yards rushing, the most productive rushing output in game for a quarterback in a Patriot uniform since Steve Grogan back in 1976, I believe. I wonder what to expect from Drake May against this Bears defense, and I wonder how will come out of the game if the Bears win, but Drake May outplays Caleb Williams, or at least has better numbers or a more obviously successful day.
Yeah, I'm interested to see him, because I went down to Chapel Hill and saw him last fall. He's good size. He's athletic. The rushing, huge rushing numbers last week, which would be bigger than you would expect. But watching him play, you could tell he could move around. His brothers played basketball for the Tar Heels. I mean, this is a guy, this is an athletic guy. This isn't some guy that's going to be stationary in the pocket. And I think the focus that, he's got is probably on protecting the football. They realize that the Bears have done a pretty good job of getting the takeaways this season. And he does have, I think he threw two interceptions in that overtime loss to the Titans. And he had a couple picks earlier in the year in his first start against Houston, so he's got to prioritize ball security. And my goodness, I mean, he's throwing the ball to a cast of
they're anonymous.
Nobody's. Yeah, it's really something. So you figure Jalen Johnson will do a number on whoever the Patriots send out to that side, and then the Bears should do a nice job. But what do they have to do first? They've got to take care of business stopping the run, right? Mm-hmm. They've got to prove that last week in Arizona was more of an aberration than a sign of problems that will be expanding and growing during the second half of the season in the absence of Andrew Billings.
Just curious, when you look at the secondary for the Bears, Kyler Gordon might be coming back. He's trending in the right direction. Obviously, no Brisker. Tyreek Stevenson is the opposite corner of Jalen Johnson, but where is his head at going into this game?
Oh, I think he'll be fine.
How about Reddy Stewart? What role does he play coming into this game? Are we going to see a lot of different combinations, mixing and matching, trying to find the right one?
Well, if Kyler Gordon is healthy and back in action this week, I'd be a little surprised if Reddy Stewart is active for the game, just because of you've got to have your numbers for special teams, and Josh Blackwell is one of their core special teams guys. And Blackwell had been in that nickel role, and they just wanted to Reddy Stewart had done real well in practice. They wanted to give him a shot, and that's what they tell them, those guys that are on the practice squad. You know, you work hard, see what kind of opportunity you can create for yourself. And it wasn't that Blackwell had not been playing well, that they just thought Reddy was deserving of a little time. But with Gordon back in the mix, I don't know that there'll be space for him.
So on Sunday, I imagine that in the press box, and I don't know how many people in the stands will be doing this, but I'm certainly sure that a lot of people who are covering the game with a credential will be watching the connection and the body language and the rapport between DJ Moore and Caleb Williams. Because I think that, Brad, how would you describe what you're looking for or why that hasn't worked to the extent that people thought it would?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't worked to the extent that the Bears thought or hoped it would. And I think that's a real thing, right? Like, you know, can they get on the same page? And, the receivers can be like that when things aren't going well for them personally, as well as the team as a whole, right? Like, if the Bears were putting up 32 points a game, I don't know that you'd look at DJ and see a guy that appears to be frustrated from time to time, because I do believe he's a team guy. But, that's worthy of watching. But the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not they're able to kind of get going a little bit. These games where he's got, 30 yards receiving, that doesn't make sense. Like, that just to anyone, when it involves a guy that just got a $110 million contract extension?
A lot of money.
Like, the Bears got to be looking at this and saying, what are we doing? Like, how does Eberflus explain that to Poles? How does Shane Waldron explain that to the front office? Because they've got this skill position talent, and they're simply not able to engage it yet.
And yet, as important as a downfield passing game is, I feel like against this Patriot team that was called soft by its own coach, you got to come out and establish your own running game and be physical at the point of attack. So, Brad, it feels like every Friday we're kind of checking with you to look ahead, and you're looking at the injury report. How do you see this offensive line lining up Sunday without its two starting tackles and now with a host of replacements?
Yeah, well, that's what – hopefully we'll get a better handle on that today. And Darnell Wright remained out of practice yesterday. Braxton Jones was limited. And my guess on the show yesterday was that if one of those two guys were to play on Sunday, it would be Wright. I don't know that that's still not the case, even based on what happened yesterday. We'll have to see. If one of the tackles is down, I think we'll see Larry Borum. In fact, I'd be stunned if we didn't see Larry Borum in that role. If both of them are down, that's where it gets really interesting. You've got two options. Take Matt Pryor, who you've been relatively pleased with what he's been able to do at right guard, and move him on the outside and plug somebody into that guard spot. Nate Davis or Ryan Bates, or you hope that Jake Curran got the butterflies out or whatever it was last week, and you plug him back in there.
Or spent the week in the weight room.
Spot. Right. Yeah, and you're mindful of, hey, we got to have some chip help here. We've got to we got to be aware of this. Because one thing that Eberflus has said consistently is, you know, we don't like making more changes than absolutely needed unless we really have to. So that's a one-for-one. That's a Larry for Braxton Jones instead of a Larry here and move somebody else. You know, they're trying to limit the number of moves that they make. But that's an issue because they have to get, you know, you talk about the Patriots being able to run the ball for May. The Bears need to run the ball for Caleb. They need to have some profits on first down. I haven't looked at it this week yet, but going into the game last week, the Bears were 24th in the league on first down. And they probably dropped a little bit based on how they played last week. And when you're poor on first down, usually that's a good indicator that you're going to have a tough time on third down, which they do as well. So, you know, if they pick up a 4 or 5 yard run, I'm talking modest goals here on first down. You get into that second and five, second and six, and you've got opportunities. You're not going to be predictable. You're on time. The chains are moving as they should. So they've got to run the ball as well.
All right, Brad, how do you see this game unfolding Sunday?
Well, I don't think it's going to be an entertaining affair to the level of what we saw on television last night with Baltimore and Cincinnati. That one maybe will go down as one of the better regular season games this year. But the Bears have what is going to be the first of many must-win games if they want to do anything. Like they have erased their margin for error, right? The last 2 weeks with struggles on the road at Washington and Arizona, and they're really kind of backed into a corner here. I think they win the game. I don't think it'll be super pretty, but if they put it together, they could beat this New England team by 2 touchdowns. They really could. I don't have a high degree of faith in that. I've got the Bears winning 20-17.
20-17. Did you consult with Mully on that? Because he texted me his prediction last night. You know, he's out today, and it was 20-17. This is the second week in a row you guys had the same prediction.
I called him the other day, and when I didn't hear back, I figured he was probably under the weather a little bit. And that proved to be the case. No, we have not had communication. All
right. 20-17. Bright,
I mean, sometimes brilliant minds do think alike.
Okay. That was my other thought. All right, Brad.
Well, naturally.
Naturally. All right, thanks for this good insight, and we will see you on Sunday. Great prediction. 20-17.
Sounds good.
All right,
have a great weekend, Dave.
Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune.